Now, texture becomes more important for the rocks that are clastic, the ones that are composed of broken fragments of other rocks. Composition becomes more important for the chemical sedimentary rocks. So, let's just think about clastic sedimentary rocks for a minute. These include sandstones, conglomerates, siltstone, claystone, mudstone. All of these are going to be named by the grain size that is most obvious to your eye. So if you pick up a chunk of rock and you see in it a whole bunch of pebbles, then you're going to give it the name conglomerate or breccia because it has big particles in it. If it had sand-sized grains, you'd call it a sandstone. And I think you can see how that pattern's going to go. We also take into consideration the composition of the minerals and rock fragments that are involved in that clastic sedimentary rock. So, for example, if we have a sand on a beach, that sand has been weathered for so long that nothing is left but quartz. It's 100% quartz. That beautiful white beach you're thinking of out in the Caribbean. If you take that beach and you glue it all together, we would call that rock a quartz sandstone because it's sand-sized grains made up entirely of quartz. So you can see how these names are very descriptive at the end of the day. One concept that we need to be a little more clear about is geologists have the bad habit of using the term clay to refer to two different things. Clay can refer not only to a type of mineral, the clay group, but it can also refer to a grain size, and that's the very, very, very smallest grain size that something can break down to. So just bear in mind that if we talk about clay, you want to think about the context that we're talking about it in and decide, are we talking about the mineral group or are we talking about a grain size? Just something to keep in the back of the head. Now, when we look at clastic sedimentary rocks, there's a lot of information that they hold, and it's not always obvious right away what that information is telling you. So if you look at the individual grains that make up a sandstone, for example, you'll see that there's a certain grain size that's dominant in that rock. It can be medium-sized sand. It could be very, very coarse sand. It could be very, very fine sand. Think about all the different kinds of sandpaper that you see. Grain size is going to be a reflection of how much energy there was in the environment that that sand was transported and deposited in. So when we think about these rocks, build a picture in your mind. On your left, you have a mountain range, big, huge mountain range. It's slowly being physically broken down. In front of you is the broad, flat plain that comes off of that mountain. And way, 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 way off in the distance, through the trees and the houses and everything else, there's a beach way at the end of the line. And between that mountain and that beach, there's a river that's flowing from the mountains to the ocean. Material that's broken down right at the mountain, okay, it's standing high, that's where erosion's gonna happen because it's standing up, it's affected by weather. So every time you have a summer thunderstorm or you have snow and rain on that mountain, you're breaking it down. All the broken material closest to the mountain is going to be very large in size. You haven't gone very far from the mountain, so you haven't gotten a chance to really break things down very much. As you walk along that river, you'll see that the size of the grains that that river is moving along towards the ocean gets smaller and smaller and smaller as you get out towards the ocean. And you'll notice that certain minerals disappear.